So here I am in isolation after testing positive for COVID last week. I had a couple of days feeling pretty grotty, if I'm honest, but I am feeling a lot better now. And so I'm recording this video for you because I didn't want to miss the opportunity to explore with you this wonderful passage from Mark's gospel, because it's absolutely key to the whole gospel and, in fact, what Jesus came to do. And last week, we were reflecting on how Jesus had begun his public ministry with a breathtaking announcement: the kingdom of God is near. In other words, he was saying God was about to turn the world the right way up again. But this wasn't to be a solo mission. And so straight away, Jesus starts recruiting a team to join him. And so we meet Simon and Andrew, and then James and John, two sets of brothers, all fishermen. And they were just going about their daily business, casting the nets, mending the nets, when they hear Jesus call them and they drop everything to follow him. And the whole of Mark's gospel from that point on is written from their perspective. It's as if Mark is inviting us to journey with those disciples as they walk with Jesus, so that we will discover the incredible truth of who Jesus is and just what he came to do, just as they did. Because the journey that Jesus called them on and calls us on, it's not just a sightseeing trip. It's a journey of discipleship. Jesus calls us to be his apprentices, to learn from him a whole new way of living. Now, I wonder, do you remember your first day in a new job? If so, I guess you can probably imagine how those first disciples are feeling as they leave behind their nets and everything they've ever known and set out on this new adventure with Jesus. That mix of excitement and nervousness, wondering what the future is going to hold. Those questions that emerge in your mind, will I be up to the job? What will my new boss be really like? Will he be everything that he seems to be? And they didn't have long to find out, because we pick up the story this morning in verse 21. Straight away, Mark says, they, that's Jesus and his four new disciples, went to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was a town on the shore, right on the shore of Lake Galilee. And if you go to Israel today, you can visit it, because archaeologists have uncovered the ancient streets and houses that were around in Jesus's day, those very streets and houses that Jesus himself would have walked amongst and into. It's an incredible place. Anyway, they're there in the synagogue with Jesus. No surprise there. It's the Sabbath, right? That's where they go. They go there to pray, to hear the scriptures being read aloud, and to be taught how to put them into practice. But then Jesus does something that leaves the people, and I'm pretty sure the disciples, amazed. After the scriptures are read, Jesus begins to teach them. And Mark says they were astounded. Why? Because, we read in verse 22, Jesus taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Jesus had authority. Now, when I was at university, we had this old tutor. I say he was old, I was only 18 at the time, maybe he was only 47. But no, I think he was actually a lot older than that. And he taught contract law, and he was famous throughout the law department for this little catchphrase that he said seemingly in every class. Because whenever somebody answered a question, he'd lean forward in his chair, look over his glasses, and say, "Authority." In other words, it wasn't enough to know the answer to the question. You had to point to some previous judgments of the Court of Appeal or House of Lords to prove that your interpretation of the law was correct. And it was a bit like that in the synagogues of Jesus's day, because the teachers of the law would always, always base their teaching on the sayings of famous and respected teachers of the past. So they'd say things like, well, as the great Rabbi Gamaliel said, and then go on to give their teaching. But Jesus, he didn't do that. He didn't point to the teaching of others who'd gone before him. He didn't need any other authority apart from himself. His message came straight from the heart and the mind of God. And when the people heard him, it's like their hearts were stirred. They were astounded by the authority of his words, because his words were able to satisfy hearts that were hungry for truth. And you know, they still are. And maybe this morning, maybe your heart is hungry. Maybe you're longing for words of truth that will satisfy you deep down. Well, Jesus says to you, come to me, listen to me, because I want to give you what you're longing for. All you need to do is come to me, ask me, open your Bible and read, and I'll speak to you. So anyway, straight away, the disciples are starting to get a clearer picture of just who it is that they've started following. But the picture's about to get even clearer still, because while they're still marveling at what they've just heard, a different voice calls out from the congregation, someone else who recognizes the authority of Jesus's words. But this voice is one of alarm. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. It's the voice of a man in the grip of an evil spirit. Now, maybe at this point, you're starting to wonder about all this and you're thinking, really? I'm not sure about all this evil spirit stuff. Isn't that just ancient superstition? And that's a very, very Western point of view. But, you know, most people in other parts of the world have no such problems believing in the presence and influence of evil spirits in the world. Even in the West, with our very rational and even cynical mindset, people are increasingly recognizing that there are forces at work in the world that we can't see or explain, but they're very real and they're very present. And Jesus himself clearly had no such doubts, as we can see from what happened next. And there are lots of questions that you may have, that I have, that Mark doesn't answer. Questions like, exactly how did this man come to be under the influence of the evil spirit? And what effect did it have on his life? Did he know he was oppressed? Or was he oblivious to it? And we don't know the answer to those questions because Mark doesn't tell us. Maybe they don't matter. What really matters is what happened next. All we do know is that this man wasn't free. The powers of darkness had him in their grip. But Jesus came to overthrow the powers of darkness. And so, with a simple word of command, Jesus sets the man free. Be quiet, Jesus says to the spirit. Come out of him. And the spirit has no choice but to obey. And again, the people are amazed. What is this? They ask each other. A new teaching and with authority. You see, Jesus didn't resort to elaborate rituals or lengthy rambling prayers to try and get rid of the evil spirit. No, just a short, simple command and out it went, just like that. The man was set free. You see, Jesus doesn't just have the authority to speak the words of God. He has the authority to do the work of God. Why? Because he is God. And still today, Jesus is at work overthrowing the powers of evil that seek to control our lives and the lives of our friends and neighbors, whether that's through addiction or bitterness, anger, jealousy, envy, despondency, pride, self-loathing, or any other tactic the enemy might use. Jesus has authority over every single one. His word has authority over every single one. And if we put our trust in him and in his promises, then there is literally nothing the powers of darkness can do to rob us of our freedom. Because by dying on the cross, Jesus paid the ransom to set us free. He paid the price to set us free. And in rising from the dead, Jesus defeated the powers of evil once and for all. So what does that mean? It means that if you have given your life to Jesus, the powers of darkness have absolutely no hold on you whatsoever. You are free. You are free. You might not feel free, but you are free. You just need to learn how to live in that freedom. And that is what the journey of discipleship is all about. And maybe you're well along that journey of discipleship already. If so, that's fantastic. Praise God. But if you're anything like me, you'll still have some way to go. So keep pressing on and keep pressing into Jesus. Keep allowing him to lead you further in that journey of discipleship, further in that journey of learning to live in the freedom that he's already won for you. Well, maybe you've only just started that journey, or you're just about to start. Well, Jesus says to you, he's reaching out to you saying, come on, just walk with me through life. Learn from me as we go. And you really will discover life in all its fullness. Just walk with me. So one last thing before I finish. You know, this journey of discipleship, it's not one that we're meant to travel alone. Jesus didn't call just one disciple, did he? No, he called 12 of them to walk the road with him together. So I wonder, who are the people that God is calling you to journey alongside, to support you, to help you, to explore the wonderful truth of who Jesus is together? Why don't you form a little group with those people and fix a time to get together, maybe once a week, just to read the Bible together, to pray for each other? Honestly, it will make your walk with Jesus so much richer, and you'll learn so much faster doing it with other people than trying to struggle on by yourself. When you do it with other people, you'll take that journey into freedom and wholeness so much faster than you will if you try to do it by yourself. So get together with other people. I challenge you. That's my challenge to you today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for sending Jesus to overthrow the powers of darkness by dying on the cross. Thank you that Jesus has your authority not just to speak your words, but to do your work. And Lord, thank you that you want us to live in the freedom that Jesus has won for us on the cross. And right now, Lord, we come to you again. We offer ourselves before you. We lay down all that we are at your feet. And we say, Lord Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to be your disciples, to learn from you how to live as you lived and as you call us to live. Father, please will you show us the people you want us to walk alongside, to journey with through life, that together we might grow into true disciples, the people you've called us to be, and to enjoy the freedom that Jesus has won for us by his death and his glorious resurrection. And in his name we pray. Amen. God bless everybody. See you soon.